It's 8:05, time for RC Country Hobbies, more than toys for big boys. It's for big girls, too, and everyone else in the family.
Big
6011
girls,
Folsom Boulevard,
what's
Sacramento.
You guys hitting the microphones today? Just keep punching the mic.
We get excited about RC Country Hobbies.
Excited at the thought of big girls.
David, Catherine, and Nathan on the drive. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. All right, let's talk a little bit of Kings here. We've been not talking a ton of Kings. You all right there, Katie?
Yeah. That's where the 6-7 comes in.
At some point, you're going to go to the doctor, right?
I already went.
When?
Friday.
What'd they say?
They gave me a bunch of pills.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Nice.
Well, you should,
that's a good doctor.
Why aren't you sharing?
What? No, not those kind of pills.
Okay.
Because she's Katie.
Right?
I've always shared my pills with you.
Oh,
wait, what? No, wait.
Hey, that's part of the next open.
But it's birth control, so it doesn't do anything for you.
What is happening?
Yeah, and you're not supposed to snort them, Nate.
I was just asking why you called her Sharon.
Oh, right. Please don't call me Sharon. This is a big game tonight. Now, some of you are going to go, I want to hear this. Sorry, it's a big game tonight. It really is. I'm not trying to say, oh, the Kings.
A must-win game.
No. A must-lose game. Oh. I'm sorry to say that, but here's the situation as it is right now. The Orlando Magic are currently sitting fourth, and by fourth, I mean fourth worst.
Worst.
But that's how we'll refer to it. They are two games behind the surging, kind of, Phoenix Suns. They have pulled now a half a game ahead of the Philadelphia 76ers in the five spot. The Kings currently are a game and a half behind the Magic for the four spot in the lottery ball doling outages. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what that means is they could, with a loss tonight, pull within a half game of Orlando. You've got Philly sandwiched there, but the difference between the sixth spot and the four spot, that's a big freaking deal. So tonight, obviously, their last time they're going to play the Magic. The Magic coming in, Kings have lost eight in a row. The Magic have lost just two in a row, which is, you know, less worse than that. I'm not advocating. I'm not advocating openly rooting for the Kings to lose. I'm not.
You would never do that.
I could never root for the Kings to lose. What I'm trying to say is, there is more potential good that could come out of a loss tonight than a win.
So here's the problem, though, when you look at Orlando, because this is a team that, as you said, they're also not good. But over the last 15 games, they've won four.
Yes.
Four. So they're struggling, obviously.
I mean, the Brooklyn Nets are on line three, and they came in and kicked our ass. So
yeah. Well, but on top of that, you look at the way that this team, and this happens with a lot of, you know, kind of bad teams, where you see they have a 30-point loss on Friday to Charlotte, who is not a good team.
Yeah.
But yet, those four wins over their last 15, two of them have come to Miami,
who is
battling to get into
hottest
the
team in the league.
Yeah, yeah, battling to get in
the Bulls.
The Bulls and Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, like, and before that, they beat Toronto. So they're beating good teams, and then they're getting blown out by 30 to teams like, you know, the Hornets.
Yeah.
So you don't know what you're going to get when Orlando comes in tonight, except for you're probably going to get the Hornets version.
Elfrid Payton has been up and down as of late, but actually he's really starting to come on. He had two triple doubles last week.
Yep.
He's starting to play well.
That guy figured out how to shoot a free throw yet?
I mean, he's never been.
Go on with it.
No, I mean, I'm with you.
I can look that up for you.
He's shooting 67.9%. from the line.
Because it could be worse.
It could be. It's better than what it used to be.
That's always baffled me. Like ball handling guards that can't shoot free throws.
I completely agree. Yeah. Nikola Vucevic always gives anybody headaches, and he's going to give these guys big headaches down low. That's for sure. What, Vucevic?
Yeah. I mean, you would expect that, but I think that overall, defensively, the Kings have done a pretty good job inside.
These games are just, these are so different now without DeMarcus, and not just for the obvious reasons, but, like, this is the game where you're like, oh, Vucevic, that's a guy that's going to earn a technical foul tonight. Right?
Yeah. I mean, you got a guy who's averaging a double-double. He's a good player, but he's kind of like that automatic double-double that how much impact does he actually have on the game? Is he just turning in double-doubles? But, you know, that's what he's going to put
and
up.
And he's one of the names that was constantly being tossed around when Cousins was still here.
Yeah,
as it was a link between the Kings and Orlando for Vucevic included in that. So he's a serviceable player. But I can't figure out what's going on with Orlando. Obviously, they lost what's-his-name when he went up to Toronto, Serge Ibaka. That was one of the, he was supposed to be a big, you know, piece for them. But that didn't work out, and he got shipped out, which is kind of similar, the decision that Orlando made to be a part of that trade with Oklahoma City in the first place.
That was the trade I'm referring
to. To what New Orleans did with the Kings.
Yeah.
They took a gamble.
Yes.
Thinking that you're going to keep a guy like that in free agency once they hit, and he was gone before the trade deadline.
Yes. And let me, I'll just address real quick, and we'll get to the Ty Lawson thing in a second, but anytime I bring this up, somebody's going to get pissed, and I get it. From the 916, Dave, I'm tired of you saying we need to lose because we get better lottery numbers. Last time I checked, we're going the opposite way we want to go. Winning this year means nothing but hope for next year. Bottom of the barrel is lame. I understand where you're coming from. And I understand it's a tough way to think, but here's the deal. As a Kings fan, in my opinion, what are we doing here? We're breaking? Okay. I was going to say we're about 15 minutes away from breaking. Music starts playing. just looking at it from a purely logical standpoint, we've gone through this before. But as we're in full tank mode, and this is a full tank mode, by the way, make no mistake about it. This team, and I'm not saying they're purposely trying to lose. I'm saying they're not good, and they're going to lose a lot more games. But winning does nothing for me as a Kings fan. It really doesn't. Losing and increasing your chances at getting a better pick, while far from a guarantee. They could have the number one pick and blow it. They could have number three pick and blow it. And conversely, they could have the number nine pick and pick a Hall of Famer. I understand that, but statistically, odds are the higher you pick in a draft, the better you're going to get. Oh, and by the way, the higher the pick in the draft, the bigger a trade asset it is. Any positives in the rest of the season out of winning and losing, almost all of them fall on the side of losing.
Well, but don't you want to get one here and there just to show that they can still do it?
You
don't
want
to screw up your drafting, but like at some point, eight in a row is a little much. I mean, maybe you can win one out of eight every now and then.
Brooklyn just beat New York at home last night, to end a 16-game home losing streak.
I mean, that's
the kind of stuff you don't want.
Right, and this is not the reason that the 8-game losing streak screws me up, too, is like this is not the Beno Udrich-led Kings that are down 30 after three quarters.
Right.
You know, they just don't have the dudes to finish games against better teams.
Right.
So, I mean, you're right. Like, most of the positives come from racking up those lottery balls, but one out of eight, it shouldn't be too much to ask.
I'm not saying I want them to lose every other game or every game the rest of the year. But I'm trying to take emotion out of the equation because emotionally I want the Kings to win every game. And you get people saying, and this is the argument this is the one argument I don't understand. They say, well, you know, winning now, it helps change the culture. It helps establish a winning culture. In my opinion, hot take canon here, that's just crap. It's such crap. It's such crap. And people who say that have a very short memory. Let me take you back to 1999 in Sacramento. Okay, this is a team that perennially sucked. They made the playoffs twice, the year they got here, and then what was it, 95, 96 with Mitch Richmond. 1999 happens. Well, what happens? They get Jason Williams out of Florida with the number 7 pick. They trade for some guy named Chris Webber, and they sign some dude named Vlade Divac. And guess what? In the 50-game strike-shortened season, they made the playoffs. And then the next year, they did really well. And then the following year, they won on and on and on. Yeah. You know what changes culture? Wins. And you're thinking, well, hold on, Dave. You just said the winning doesn't. My point is the culture can literally change in an off season. It doesn't matter.
It can change overnight.
It absolutely can. So you don't need they're winning now. It's because they won last year. No, it's not. No, it's not. What you do is all I care about with the Kings is getting
winning
assets
is
right now.
Right?
Huh?
Winning is synergistic. Like, it builds the synergy, right?
Yes.
So it's not like the synergy from winning a handful of games to close out this season is going to carry over into how this team performs next year, because the reality is this team's going to be completely different next year. one is not related to the next. And as long as the core pieces, the young pieces that they have right now, continue to have a positive outlook in terms of getting better, getting some playing time that they feel like they're developing and feeling comfortable, that's all that matters. I think the argument people make with the it's important to win to build culture is from the mental component for young guys, for rookies that are bad and all they're experiencing early in their NBA career after coming out of college when all they've done is win. Is then they get to the NBA and it's just losing, and then some people break down and they can't manage that.
They'll be fine. Well,
but yeah, I don't think that. But that's I agree, but I'm saying this is what people is the approach that they take with it.
Yeah, it's
that's
wrong.
Why what they're doing is so important. It's not about wins. It's about learning to compete. I mean, we've had that discussion a lot. I mean, if you don't. You can't win games if you don't compete for 48 minutes.
Well, and I'll tell you truthfully, having been there, like I played my rookie year in the WNBA. We were not a good team. We did not have a great record at the end of the season. We were in every freaking game and we were battling. A very similar situation here. At no point did it feel like, oh, we're just getting our asses handed to us. No, because we were competing. Now, if this team were going out and losing by 20 or 30 every single night, I can understand where it could become an issue for some of these young guys. As long as they're competing and they're in these games, I don't think it has the effect that people think it has on them.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I remember a few years ago, Michael Redd dropping a career high in three quarters.
Yeah.
And, like, those things aren't happening. That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, the wins aren't there.
That's
but
good.
The 28-point lead against the Spurs, and they blew it. The game against Washington, they played I mean, really, that's like the best-case scenario is you play well. You see, like, Buddy Hield having 18 points in the first half, and he got shut down in the second half. That's a learning experience. Mm-hmm. You're going to learn
from
that.
He did a much better job the next night out, too.
Against
Denver, he had a great first quarter, or first half, came out, second half. He produced. He was able to look, you know, learn from the experience the night before where he was shut out by the Wizards.
And I completely understand people saying, I'm tired of losing every year. I'm tired of losing every year. I don't want to lose.
This is the reality of the situation,
though,
right now.
It wasn't going to be any different,
though,
right now. This team was already a loser.
Well, there's people that would say, you know, I want to get into that part, but there are people saying, well, we were just, you know, we won 5-7, and we're, I get it. But my point is, you don't want to lose every year. I don't either. I want to compete for a freaking title. Okay, so I don't care if they win 25. It's not like if they win 30 games this year, they're at 25 right now. I'm like, oh my God, you know what? That's better. It's not. It still sucks.
This is what the real question
is. Get the damn lottery balls.
The real question is, when you look at the decision to move forward with the roster as it is and to get rid of DeMarcus and to move by that, what that to me initiated was saying, okay, we're going to hit the restart button again, which a lot of Kings fans are like, what? We've been losing for 10 years. Like, we're tired of the losing. But you're trying to build a team that is a playoff contender and, of course, hopefully a title contender at the same time that LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant are all in their prime, right?
Yes.
So fast forward, say, 5 or 6 years when this team could potentially flip the script and be in that title. Would fans say, okay, this was worth it?
Yes.
This was worth it.
I don't think
what's going on now, it's worth it down the line. But they don't look at that.
Well, they don't look, and I'll stand in front of the fans now. I understand that because they're saying here before.
I do too.
We've tanked before. I don't think we've ever fully tanked or rebuilt. Jesus, in forever. I mean, we never did it with the Maloofs. It was the mid-level exception special. It was Sharif Abdul-Rahim into Mikey Moore into some other guy that they just wanted to hold on to the eight spot. And then you got Cousins in 2010. There was never any rebuilding or tanking with him on the team. It was always trying to push forward. This is the first true tank rebuild experience. And yes, Vlade and Ken Catanella, they're going to have to draft properly. But, Katie, as I was talking about over the weekend, I think for the first time in God knows when, we actually have between Dave Yeager and his staff and Derek Martin and his staff, we actually people that can develop talent, and you're seeing that with some of these young players.
Right.
So feed them into the system, guys.
I'm trying to remember who it was, and I know I've mentioned it on the show. It was earlier in the season, and I was talking to some of the coaches from around the league when they were here, and it was about, like, hey, what do you think of Dave Yeager and so on and so forth? And he has a ton of respect around the league as a coach. But they specifically said his coaching staff and development staff is one of the best in the league. He said people are going to find that out, but his player development staff are one of the tops in the league. Yes. And that's something that I specifically remember talking to Vlade about last season when we were in L.A. I believe we were playing the Lakers, and that's kind of the end of the season when Willie was starting to have some games and string them together. And the one thing Vlade said, he goes, the improvement that we have to make primarily, the first thing that I have to do in the offseason is I have to beef up our player development. We have to have a better player development staff.
It's just been flat out non-existent.
Yeah. Yeah. It was important. And I give them credit for that because I do think they've done that. And I think Larry Lewis and all the guys that they have done a phenomenal job of really developing guys. You look at Ben McLemore just being able to semi-handle the basketball. Like, that's time that they spend. Yeah. And Willie, with him, those two are with Larry Lewis before every single game, and they go through every single practice, same thing. They go through so many different development drills, and people don't understand how important that is, especially for these young guys.
Huge. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Gary, you're on the drive.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Hold on a second. From the 925, name one time tanking has worked. How about San Antonio? Guide. Everybody looks at Philadelphia. How many examples do you need? We can go back through.
Are you talking about when Tim Duncan came on?
Yeah. Got hurt and they tanked and they got this guy Tim Duncan.
So you got one.
That worked out okay.
Gary,
pull out old Wikipedia. Sorry, Gary. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. I just where's the LeBron in California? You know what I mean? Let's get the draft pick, find a kid out of high school, and then we can start winning championships.
Yeah, you can't do the high school kids anymore. It's one and done.
No, but I missed him about 13 years
ago. See what he's saying,
though. He's doing local radio.
And I don't know.
A missed opportunity.
You, huh?
I don't know that there's a LeBron in this draft. There might be. I get.
Well, there's a Michael Jordan in this. There's actually a better than Steph and going to be as good, if not better, than Michael Jordan.
Yeah, well,
if you listen to LeVar Bell. LeVar Bell.
I try not to listen to LeVar Ball. And honestly, this is really starting to intrigue me. LeVar Ball, honestly, the whole Ball situation is starting to smell to me a little bit like Stephon Marbury. I'm starting to feel that kind of, I don't want anything to do with this guy because
it's
the expectation. I'm starting to feel a little Sebastian Telfair about this guy where I don't want any part of that. I don't want any part of that situation.
This is a conversation for another day. I know we have to get to Ty Lawson, but we should discuss this at length. At what point is he potentially harming his son's future?
He already has, to a serious degree, and how?
Top two pick in the draft.
He already has, in the sense that his kid now is going to listen. You're going to have expectations on you, regardless of where you get picked.
Well, I was thinking specifically more of the fact that the first time he faces Steph Curry, do you not think that's in his mind?
100%.
Like, this is things that this father has not. That's again. It's.
Nate,
it's
I would say this.
It's another conversation for another day.
If Lonzo, I know his dad more than his kid. If Lonzo Ball comes in and he ends up being a fantastic NBA player. Now, let's remember, LeBron James's mother was, I believe, convicted
of... She mortgaged his future for a Hummer.
And exactly, before he even made it to the NBA.
You had
the DUI, she had drinking issues and all this crazy stuff before he came in, and now... That's way, way, way gone. If he comes in and does well, we're going to forget about this. But I would say...
Probably not, because he's going to keep talking.
I think that his father, by talking, has done more negative things for his son than positive things for his son. I don't know what positive has come out of him talking.
Well, what negative has come out?
What negative has come out is the expectations that are in there.
Well, he's the best player in college basketball.
Is he? Is Markelle Fultz on line three
well,
for
I
that
mean,
one?
Like, has anything that LeVar Ball said affected that?
And we don't know affected what.
You've got the two best players in college basketball. It's those two guys, right? I mean, right. What? Like, yeah, they're words. He's annoying.
Jimmer Fredette was the best player in college basketball, too, once.
Well, yeah, but...
That, what?
We just had a head coach come out and say that he had preconceived notions about a player he signed because of what he saw on television. So I think it's fair to say, and obviously different examples with Steve Kerr, JaVale McGee, and Shaqton.
Yeah.
But I think it's okay to say that some of these guys, whether it's coaches or players or potential sponsors, whomever it may be, are going to have preconceived notions about Lonzo Ball because of his father. I don't think he's doing him any good. But he could come in, like I said, and kick ass and be fine with it. We got to get to this Ty Lawson thing, Katie.
We've been putting it off. I know. It's not fun to talk about.
It's your fault. We'll take a break.
Okay.
We'll come back in 5 minutes. Michael McCann wrote an article from Sports Illustrated, our good buddy Michael McCann, and the title of the article is Ty Lawson's impending court date could end his NBA career. We'll break this article down next, give you an update on Ty Lawson next to the drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. It's part of a plea deal that Ty Lawson reached November 2015. Ty Lawson, I'll say his name 50 times, I guess, full name, pleaded guilty to driving while his ability was impaired. He also pleaded guilty to a lane usage violation in exchange three other charges, including DUI, which was his second alcohol-related offense. They were all dismissed. He was sentenced in March of last year and faced a maximum of 180 days in jail. His attorney asked the judge to sentence him to probation, highlighting that he was technically a first-time offender and first-time DUI offenders in Colorado normally receive probation. Prosecutors petitioned the judge to sentence him to jail for 45 days due to his extensive history of drinking and driving and that he posed a public safety risk. They, quote, wanted him to learn a lesson. I'm talking about Michael McCann's article in Sports Illustrated recounting the issue Ty Lawson is having right now. So what happened was the judge said she was well aware of his past, yet sentenced him to 1 year of probation plus 48 hours of community service, 52 hours of therapy and recurring sobriety checks, and that he must avoid alcohol and marijuana.
Well, because at the time of her decision, this judge in Denver, the DUI from that he later got after the Denver one in California, it hadn't played out through the legal system yet, so technically it wasn't on his record
right
at that point. The other past that she was referring to goes way back to college.
Yes. So there was definitely a history there. Now in 9 days, because of the allegations that he tested positive for alcohol a handful of times earlier this year, he's got to go back in front of the judge, and he's going to need to show cause that his probation should not be revoked. Mm-hmm. If he fails to do so, the judge could rule that Lawson must serve time, most likely a matter of days, in jail. In order to show cause, Lawson must either refute the probation officer's allegations that he has violated his probation or admit that the officer is correct, but then plead with the judge to give him another chance, citing perhaps mitigating circumstances, medical.
What, stressful job?
Well, it says here.
Family problems. There's a number of things.
Family member illness, medical condition, whatever it may be.
This gets complicated, though. And this is in this SI article, this is a legal analyst that is talking about the different options. But I don't know how complicated that gets when you're trying to argue mitigating factors for three different incidents.
Right. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So I don't, again, we're not judges here, but it sounded like the judge, who he will now see in 9 days, March 22nd, was already like, I don't really want to do this. I'm going to give you a little bit of a break here, but dude, you're going down a bad path and you need to figure it out. Now, how do you go back before the judge and say,
well,
did it again?
You wonder how many people would get four chances to clean up like that?
Not many that are in our tax bracket. Yeah.
I'll say this because I really, really like Ty Lawson.
I do, too.
I really like Ty Lawson. And this is something that when we talk about things like DUIs and stuff like this, I think a lot of people jump to conclusions. They automatically want to crucify somebody for a mistake, in Ty's case, multiple mistakes. It is not exclusive for someone to make massive mistakes like this and also be a bad person.
No.
That those are not two exclusive things. And so, but the kind of concerning thing to me about this started when I first spoke to Ty Lawson at Media Day this year, because I sat down with him for exclusive with Comcast and I asked him about second chances. And do you think that, there's not a lot of teams that are willing to take a risk on you? What does this tell you when the Kings are willing to sign you? He's like, I think a lot of teams are willing to to sign me. I don't think I'm a risk. He goes, there's nothing wrong.
We talked about that at the time, how alarming it was.
It was.
Within a week of him signing with the Kings, he's out there doing interviews going, oh, no, I don't got a problem. Well, the, I mean, I just, the, I got it all under control.
The crazy thing about this, these two of those three failed sobriety tests that he took, one was the day before media day and one was the day after media day. And then sandwiched that in with me talking to him about that. And when it comes down to it, I don't know what's going on with him. Obviously, this is stuff that happened months ago as well. I don't know where he is right now. I just hope that if there is something wrong, that this is something that can be resolved. I don't.
It's hard to believe that a healthy person would find themselves in this situation.
Yeah.
Repeatedly. That's what I mean. That's the big part of this. Like, you can try to be critical of him all the ways you want. It is hard to believe that a person that is healthy, you know, that has got everything right in between their ears, would so willingly throw it all away potentially like this, whether it's him or, you know, Alden Smith and that continued drinking. These are the marks of people that are not healthy.
I guess the question is here, because depending on how this whole thing plays out in the legal system when he goes to court on March 22nd in Denver, Dave, is what the NBA and the Kings choose to do from here.
Well, that's what we don't know. They're watching this. Obviously, the Kings could cut him for the remainder of the year. They could keep him. They, you know, he doesn't have a big money contract. It's a 1-year deal. But the thing with Ty Lawson is this, and we talked about this, Steve Sarkisian, when he was having issues.
Yeah.
You know, I think we have quote unquote evolved as a society to where we look at alcohol issues now. We look at it like a disease, like an actual scientific disease that people have, and there's a level of sympathy there. And listen, there's no excuse to ever have a DUI, but if somebody has a DUI, okay. All right, face value, was this the wake-up call you needed? Did this scare you to death? Are you doing everything you can? And everybody screws up in some aspect of their life, and I'm not going to judge them. But at some point, you know, you said Ty's a great guy. I love Ty Lawson. I don't care that he's a Sacramento King. I think it's everything I hear is that he's a good dude. But at some point, it's like, okay, I get that we're trying to evolve. I get that it's a disease. I get that you should have a certain level of sympathy for Ty Lawson. But what it comes down to, and I'm going to sound harsh here for a second, but when my wife and kids are out on the road and Ty Lawson is repeatedly violating his probation and he continues to drink, whether he's on the road or not, I don't have any sympathy for him. Let me change that. I have sympathy for him, but I don't care about him anymore. I don't. Dude, go get your help. Figure it out. I don't care. I don't care that you have a problem. I don't care that you're an alcoholic. I care that something is wrong in your brain. Whether it's my wife and kids or your wife and kids or his husband and kids or whomever it is, her husband and kids, whatever, I care more about them than I do about Ty Lawson because he seems like a good guy and he's super fast.
Well, I think that's where our priorities need to be. And it's along the lines of what you're saying, Dave, is that if you go through this process one time, a DUI one time, if that does not serve as an eye opener, the education classes that you have to take, the amount of stuff that you have to do, if that does not alert
you, it's a financial burden that comes with it.
Absolutely. Well, in his case, it's a little bit different. But if that doesn't alert you, and you get a second one, then that's like, okay, there's a larger issue here.
Yes.
Because a DUI can happen to anyone that goes out to dinner and has two drinks and gets pulled over for a taillight that's out. I mean, people don't realize that. It's a very low level.
I don't know. Listen, I've never been an alcoholic, and I don't claim to walk in an alcoholic's shoes, but I have to imagine that being on the road 41 nights a year and staying in hotels and being bored and being a millionaire is not the most conducive situation for somebody trying to beat a drinking problem. That's just, again, my guess. I could be wrong. So there's bigger fish to fry than who's going to play point guard backup for the last 20 games or whatever the hell for the Kings. Avenged Sevenfold tickets. You're about to hear it. Get ready to text in the secret word here in just a second. You can get tickets to go see those guys July 31st, Golden 1 Center.
It's 8:42, time for RC Country Hobbies. More than toys for big boys, it's for everyone in the family. 6011 Folsom Boulevard, Sacramento.
The Bearco moment of the game as well. If you know the Bearco moment of the game, call in right now and you could get Bearco fun and prizes also from the Kings as well. When we get back, we'll rebrew the whole thing on the drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, so
I hate you guys.
Welcome into the rebrew, end of each day, and thanks to McDonald's for putting us all together. We'll just give you a quick slip on what we did and what you missed over the previous 3 hours. And I think that
I.e. the crap that you guys give me.
That was right out of the gate.
Just couldn't answer a simple question.
Yeah, and that's part of the charm of Katie
Christensen. It's not simple for me.
Obviously not.
Yeah, just give me a scale of 1 to 10.
I'm wondering at what point you guys are just going to realize that my brain does not work that way and accept it instead of just feeding me constant crap for it.
We've realized that, but it's like...
I accept that you guys are moronic men.
Oh, good one.
If you have a point guard, though, if you're a coach of a team, you got a point guard that's shooting free throws backwards, you know, are you going to say, you know what, that's just how that guy's comfortable shooting free throws? Or
nobody shoots free throws backwards. That's a horrible analogy.
Right, and nobody can answer a 1 to 10 question. I mean, literally. Who? Anyone?
How am I supposed to judge on a scale of 1 to 10 exactly at that moment where my health is?
By picking a number.
But that's just like a crapshoot. It's not accurate. I deal in accurate measurements. I'm here, so I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on.
People rip on Darren Revelle, but I get stuff from him all the time. And I don't know what nerd he talked to or what math he did or somebody did for him to figure that out. But that was off his Twitter feed. Now, if you left Rhode Island, you're probably going to be late.
What kind of pansy drives just 10 hours a day, though?
You can do better than that.
I drove from freaking Chicago to Sacramento in 2 days.
Hey, I did Minneapolis.
1,000 miles a day. Saddle up, partner.
Minneapolis, St. Paul to Carmichael, California in just under 28 hours. No sleep and no drugs. Well, none that are uppers.
That sounds
none that are uppers.
Yeah, none that are uppers. I mean, that was back in my college days. Uh-huh. So you know, we're
lots of vaping.
Yeah, lots of vaping in the car. By the way, oh hey, let's fit Greg in here. Hey Greg, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're great. Katie's like a 7.
Oh, she's a 10.
Oh wow. Oh, wow. Hey.
But I just want to bring up the Ty Lawson issue. First of all, I think the guy's a great player. He's really filled the void for Rajon Rondo. But when we come to the drunk driving thing, I think it comes down to an issue of having willpower. And with Uber, Lyft, and all these other things available that weren't when we were younger, not that made it good for us, but they don't need to get behind the wheel. And if they even think they're close to being drunk, they have to make the decision of finding other means because... Especially if they're on the road, they don't need a car. But these guys get behind the wheel thinking, well, I'm Ty Lawson, and if I get caught, they'll know who I am. Well, no, you're a drunk. You're not Ty Lawson.
Greg, I agree.
I don't think that goes through their head. I just don't think there's anything. The line of thinking, something's broken there, period. I don't think it's ever like a, I'm Reese Witherspoon situation.
Greg, everything Greg said makes perfect sense, especially the Uber stuff. The only thing I take exception to, and again, not a doctor here, but played one on TV, he said it's about willpower. And that's something that...
That's the stigma of addiction.
It's about planning ahead,
well,
too.
It's about you're an alcoholic. Your brain is wired differently. You are chemically different than you or me. What, that Ty's an alcoholic?
I mean, that's...
I'll go ahead and make the assumption right now that Ty Lawson's an alcoholic. Exactly. And go ahead and get me in trouble if I'm wrong there. But their brains don't work the same. So willpower, it's like Leo McGarry used to say on the West Wing all the time. He played an alcoholic on that show. And one line that he always said, somebody said, well, what? So you can't even have a drink? And he said, no, the problem is I don't want one drink. I want 12 drinks.
Yeah.
That's where an alcoholic's mind works differently than ours or mine or whomever
right.
is.
Well, I mean, what's the thing? Like, one isn't enough and a million is never enough.
Yeah, whatever.
Or, you know, whatever. One is too many and a million is never enough.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think, it just
doesn't work right. And I think a lot of us have learned that through education and through stuff out there. But it doesn't matter. Again, it doesn't matter. Not to be crazy about this, but if somebody crashes into my wife and kids, knock on wood here, I don't care that they're an alcoholic.
You know, we wouldn't be talking about this thing with Ty Lawson right now. I mean, we discussed it earlier when he got signed with the Kings. We wouldn't be talking about this if there wasn't the alleged issues with him violating his probation, which is apparently stemming from 3 failed sobriety tests. Yes. It's not like he got pulled over in a car drinking and driving 3 more times since that. No, he's violated his probation is what they're saying, which means you're not supposed to be drinking, or part of the terms of it too. It's like, it includes a number of things like no marijuana, like so on and so forth. So we'll see. March 22nd, we'll see what comes out of this. But I think it's safe to say, hopefully, if there is an issue, he gets help.
Final rebrew of the day. Wow, there you go. The debut of the rebrew, and Katie gets 2 of 3. Shocking. Do you have anything else for us, Katie?
Yeah. It's 8:54. Time for RC Country Hobbies. More than toys for big boys, it's for everyone in the family. 6011 Folsom Boulevard, Sacramento.
I think the text word today was show, because that's what most people are saying. But some people, I always like seeing what they heard. Shove, self, shove. Now, choke, shelf.
What?
And go.
I mean, usually they at least rhyme. Show and go.
I don't know.
Hey, guys, Rebrew is presented by McDonald's. Did you know that?
We did!
Yeah. You can join new McCafe macchiatos, cappuccinos, or Americanos at McDonald's this week only. Try any small.
Americanos.
Just $1 each. I know it. Price and participation may vary for a limited time. I'm loving it.
You can find that in your seat in your car.
It's true.
Just dig
that
down
$1,
there.
Just dig for some coins.
Kings versus Magic tonight, 7:30 p.m. Katie, your prediction. What's the score? Katie can't do
Why
that.
Do so you
can't.
That?
You're not allowed to do
102-96,
that.
102-96, Kings win.
102-96, Kings win. I will say Kings lead at 1 point by double digits. The Magic win by 4.
Wow.
It's not like I'm
I can't do that legally.
Yeah, you can't. That's the one. That's the one time where we're going to ask you to make a decision, and we're going to let you off the hook there.
Katie accused of point shaving.
I know, right?
Because if she was legally allowed to do it, or she wasn't a part of the broadcast team, the answer probably would have been something like, you know what? Honestly, I think the Magic could win tonight's game, but if the Kings outscore them, mm-hmm. they're going to come out on top.
Both of you. You see it right here?
We should start calling her Magic Christensen.
This is how I feel about you.
It's the 1 to 10 thing.
Throw
isn't
your
that
pinky
hard.
Fingers to the air.
I mean, I know it seems difficult, but we're giving you a bonus number. Like, you get 11 to choose from. You can have 0.
Just choose 1.
0, I would be dead.
Right. Well, we even gave you the parameters.
Yeah.
0 is dead, or I said in the hospital, I think, and 10 is you're perfectly fine.
Nate, how happy are you today on a scale of 1 to 10?
6.5.
Very easy. So simple.
It might have been a lie.
I said
you
between 6 or 7.
What?
Which is exactly what you just said. You just gave it a number that doesn't exist.
6.5 is not between 6 and 7?
No numbers technically exist, Katie.
Dear Lord. Hey, do me. Come on. Give me a question. Come on.
do me. No, Dave, that will never happen.
Come on.
Despite what everyone on the text line and Twitter thinks.
Oh, well, now they will. The lowdown will take the mantle at noon. Damian, Jason, and Ken will guide you all the way through those 3 hours leading up to Grant and Doug live from Golden One Center. Jim Rome is coming up next. Want to thank everybody for joining us and remind you as well, follow us at Sports 1140 KHTK on Twitter, like our Facebook page, Sports 1140 KHTK, and follow us at Instagram. And Nate, are you an Instagrammer, by the way?
Yeah, but not really.
No?
No.
No?
I mean, I'm there.
I have an account, but I just, I can't. All the kids are into that.
Mm-hmm.
All the kids are, I can't do the dog ears.
It's the same thing with everything with social media today. If I'm out having a good time at something, it's just not the first thing on my mind.
Right.
I'll get done with it and be like, oh, I should have taken pictures, or I should have done that.
We need to get to a point where we have contact lenses that are actually cameras, and you can blink,
yeah.
and then you take a picture, and then you can, like, twink your ear and, you know, all that. Hey, buddy, I got 11 seconds left. Thanks to Matt, George, Kevin, Sheritz, Nate Goodyear, Katie Christensen. I'm Carmichael Dave. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.